7. A Watcher at the Rim. I did not die. I experienced something worse. From Oathbringer, Preface.
Kaladin! Laren exclaimed, grabbing him by the shoulder. What are you doing, son?
Roshon sputtered on the ground, his nose bleeding.
Guards! Take him! You hear me?
Syl landed on Kaladin's shoulder, hands on her hips. She tapped her foot.
He probably deserved that.
The dark-eyed guard scrambled to help Roshon to his feet while the captain leveled his sword at Kaladin. A third joined them, running in from another room. Kaladin stepped one foot back, falling into a guard position.
Well?
Roshon demanded, holding his handkerchief to his nose.
Strike him down!
Angerspren boiled up from the ground in pools.
Please, no,
Kaladin's mother cried, clinging to Lirin.
He's just distraught.
Kaladin held out a hand toward her, palm forward in a quieting motion.
It's all right, mother. That was only payment for a little unsettled debt between Roshon and me.
He met the eyes of the guards, each in turn, and they shuffled uncertainly. Roshon blustered. Unexpectedly, Kaladin felt in complete control of the situation and, well, more than a little embarrassed. Suddenly, the perspective of it crashed down on him. Since leaving Hearthstone, Kaladin had met true evil, and Roshon hardly compared. Hadn't he sworn to protect even those he didn't like? Wasn't the whole point of what he had learned to keep him from doing things like this? He glanced at Syl, and she nodded to him. Do better. For a short time, it had been nice to just be Cal again. Fortunately, he wasn't that youth any longer. He was a new person, and for the first time in a long, long while, he was happy with that person.
Stand down, men, Kaladin said to the soldiers. I promise not to hit your bright lord again. I apologize for that. I was momentarily distracted by our previous history, something he and I both need to forget. Tell me, what happened to the Parshmen? Did they not attack the town?
The soldiers shifted, glancing toward Roshon.
I said stand down, Kaladin snapped. For storm's sake, man, you're holding that sword like you're going to chop a stump weight. And you, rust on your cap? I know Amaram recruited most of the able-bodied men in the region, but I've seen messenger boys with more battle poise than you.
The soldiers looked to one another. Then, red-faced, the light-eyed one slid his sword back into its sheath.
What are you doing? Roshon demanded. Attack him!
Right, Lord. Sir, the man said, eyes down. I may not be the best soldier around, but... Well, sir, trust me on this. We should just pretend that punch never happened.
The other two soldiers nodded their heads in agreement. Roshon sized Kaladin up, dabbing at his nose, which wasn't bleeding badly.
So, they did make something out of you in the army, did they?
You have no idea. We need to talk. Is there a room here that isn't clogged full of people?
Cal, Lirin said. You're speaking foolishness. Don't give orders to Bright Lord Roshon.
Kaladin pushed past the soldiers and Roshon, walking farther down the hallway.
Well, he barked. Empty room?
Up the stairs, sir, one of the soldiers said. Library is empty.
Excellent,
Kaladin smiled to himself, noting the sir.
Join me up there, men.
Kaladin started toward the stairs. Unfortunately, an authoritative bearing could only take a man so far. Nobody followed, not even his parents.
I gave you people an order, Kaladin said. I'm not fond of repeating myself.
And what, Roshon said, makes you think you can order anyone around, boy?
Kaladin turned back and swept his arm before him, summoning Syl. A bright, dew-colored shard blade formed from mist into his hand. He spun the blade and rammed her down into the floor in one smooth motion. He held the grip, feeling his eyes bleed to blue. Everything grew still. Townspeople froze, gaping. Rashon's eyes bulged. Curiously, Kaladin's father just lowered his head and closed his eyes. "Any other questions?" Kaladin asked.
"They were gone when we went back to check on them, Bright Lord," said Arik, the short guard with the rusty helm. "We'd locked the door, but the side was ripped clean open."
"They didn't attack a soul?" Kaladin asked.
"No, Bright Lord."
Kaladin paced through the library. The room was small, but neatly organized with rows of shelves and a fine reading stand. Each book was exactly flush with the others. Either the maids were extremely meticulous, or the books were not often moved. Syl perched on one shelf, her back to a book, swinging her legs girlishly over the edge. Rashon sat on one side of the room, periodically pushing both hands along his flushed cheeks toward the back of his head in an odd nervous gesture. His nose had stopped bleeding, though he'd have a nice bruise. That was a fraction of the punishment the man deserved, but Kaladin found he had no passion for abusing Rashon. He had to be better than that. "What did the parchment look like?" Kaladin asked of the guardsmen. "They changed following the unusual storm?"
"Sure did," Arik said. "I peeked when I heard them break out after the storm passed. They looked like void bringers, I tell you, with big bony bits jutting from their skin."
"They were taller," the guard captain added.
"Taller than me. Easily as tall as you are, Bright Lord. With legs thick as stump weights and hands that could have strangled a white spine, I tell you."
"Then why didn't they attack?" Kaladin asked.
"They could have easily taken the manor. Instead, they'd run off into the night." It spoke of a more disturbing goal. Perhaps Hearthstone was too small to be bothered with.
"I don't suppose you tracked their direction," Kaladin said, looking toward the guards, then Rashon.
No, Bright Lord, the captain said. "Honestly, we were just worried about surviving."
"Will you tell the king?" Arik asked. "That storm ripped away 4 of our silos. We'll be starving afore too long, with all these refugees and no food. When the high storms start coming again, we won't have half as many homes as we need."
"I'll tell Elokar. But Stormfather, the rest of the kingdom would be just as bad." He needed to focus on the Voidbringers. He couldn't report back to Dalinar until he had the Stormlight to fly home. So for now, it seemed his most useful task would be to find out where the enemy was gathering, if he could. What were the Voidbringers planning? Kaladin hadn't experienced their strange powers himself, though he'd heard reports of the Battle of Narok. Farshendi with glowing eyes and lightning at their command, ruthless and terrible.
"I'll need maps," he said. "Maps of Elethkar, as detailed as you have, and some way to carry them through the rain without ruining them."
He grimaced.
"And a horse. Several of them. The finest you have."
"So, you're robbing me now?"
Rashon asked softly, staring at the floor.
"Robbing?" Kaladin said. "We'll call it renting instead."
He pulled a handful of spheres from his pocket and dropped them on the table. He glanced toward the soldiers.
"Well? Maps?
Surely Rashon keeps survey maps of the nearby areas."
Rashon was not important enough to have stewardship over any of the High Prince's lands, a distinction Kaladin had never realized while he lived in Hearthstone. Those lands would be watched over by much more important light eyes. Rashon would only be a first point of contact with surrounding villages.
"We'll want to wait for the lady's permission," the guard captain said.
"Sir?"
Kaladin raised an eyebrow. They'd disobey Rashon for him, but not the manor's lady?
"Go to the Hus Ardents and tell them to prepare the things I request. Permission will be forthcoming. And locate a span reed connected to Tashik, if any of the Ardents have one. Once I have the Stormlight to use it, I want to send word to Dalinar."
The guards saluted and left. Kaladin folded his arms.
"Rashon, I'm going to need to chase those parchmen and see if I can figure out what they're up to.
I don't suppose any of your guards have tracking experience? Following the creatures would be hard enough without the rain swamping everything.
Why do they matter so much? Roshone asked, still staring at the floor.
Surely you've guessed, Kaladin said, nodding to Syl as her ribbon of light flitted over to his shoulder. Weather in turmoil and terrors transformed from common servants? That storm with the red lightning blowing the wrong direction? The desolation is here, Roshone. The Voidbringers have returned.
Roshone groaned, leaning forward, arms wrapped around himself as if he were going to be sick.
Syl, Kaladin whispered, I might need you again.
You sound apologetic, she replied, cocking her head.
I am. I don't like the idea of swinging you about, smashing you into things.
She sniffed.
Firstly, I don't smash into things. I am an elegant and graceful weapon, stupid. Secondly, why would you be bothered?
It doesn't feel right, Kaladin replied, still whispering. You're a woman, not a weapon.
Wait, so this is about me being a girl?
No, Kaladin said immediately, then hesitated.
Maybe.
It just feels strange.
She sniffed.
You don't ask your other weapons how they feel about being swung about.
My other weapons aren't people, he hesitated. Are they?
She looked at him with head cocked and eyebrows raised as if he'd said something very stupid.
Everything has a spren. His mother had taught him that from an early age. So, some of my spears have been women, then? He asked.
Female, at least, Syl said. Roughly half, as these things tend to go.
She flitted up into the air in front of him.
It's your fault for personifying us, so no complaining. Of course, some of the old spren have four genders instead of two.
What? Why?
She poked him in the nose.
Because humans didn't imagine those ones, silly.
She zipped out in front of him, changing into a field of mist. When he raised his hand, the shard blade appeared. He strode to where Roshone sat, then stooped down and held the shard blade before the man, point toward the floor. Roshone looked up, transfixed by the weapon's blade, as Kaladin had anticipated. You couldn't be near one of these things and not be drawn by it. They had a magnetism.
How did you get it? Roshone asked. Does it matter?
He didn't reply, but they both knew the truth. Owning a shard blade was enough. If you could claim it and not have it taken from you, it was yours. With one in his possession, the brands on his head were meaningless. No man, not even Roshone, would imply otherwise.
You, Kaladin said, are a cheat, a rat, and a murderer. But as much as I hate it, we don't have time to oust Alethkar's ruling class and set up something better. We are under attack by an enemy we do not understand, and which we could not have anticipated. So you're going to have to stand up and lead these people.
Roshone stared at the blade, looking at his reflection.
We're not powerless, Kaladin said. We can and will fight back, but first we need to survive. The Everstorm will return. Regularly, though I don't know the interval yet. I need you to prepare.
How?
Roshone whispered. Build homes with slopes in both directions. If there's not time for that, find a sheltered location and hunker down.
I can't stay. This crisis is bigger than one town, one people, even if it's my town and my people. I have to rely on you. Almighty preserve us, you're all we have.
Roshone slumped down farther in his seat.
Great.
Kaladin stood and dismissed Syl.
We'll do it,
a voice said from behind him. Kaladin froze. Laurel's voice sent a shiver down his spine. He turned slowly and found a woman who did not at all match the image in his head. When he'd last seen her, she'd been wearing a perfect light-eyed dress, beautiful and young. Yet her pale green eyes had seemed hollow. She'd lost her betrothed, Rishon's son, and had instead become engaged to the father, a man more than twice her age. The woman he confronted was no longer a youth. Her face was firm, lean, and her hair was pulled back in a no-nonsense tail of black peppered with blonde. She wore boots and a utilitarian hava, damp from the rain. She looked him up and down, then sniffed.
"Looks like you went and grew up, Cal. I was sorry to hear the news of your brother. Come now. You need a span reed? I've got one to the Queen Regent in Kolinar, but that one hasn't been responsive lately. Fortunately, we do have one to Tashik, as you asked about. If you think that the king will respond to you, we can go through an intermediary."
She walked back out the doorway.
"Laurel,"
he said, following.
"I hear you stabbed my floor," she noted. "That's good hardwood, I'll have you know. Honestly, men and their weapons."
"I dreamed of coming back," Kaladin said, stopping in the hallway outside the library. "I imagined returning here a war hero and challenging Rishon. I wanted to save you, Laurel."
"Oh?" She turned back to him. "And what made you think I needed saving?"
"You can't tell me," Kaladin said softly, waving backward toward the library, "that you've been happy with that."
"Becoming a light eyes does not grant a man any measure of decorum, it appears," Laurel said. "You will stop insulting my husband, Kaladin. Shardbearer or not, another word like that, and I'll have you thrown from my home."
"Laurel,
I am quite happy here. Or I was until the winds started blowing the wrong direction."
She shook her head.
"You take after your father. Always feeling like you need to save everyone, even those who would rather you mind your own business. Rishon brutalized my family. He sent my brother to his death and did everything he could to destroy my father." "And your father spoke against my husband," Laurel said, "disparaging him in front of the other townspeople. How would you feel, as a new bright lord exiled far from home, only to find that the town's most important citizen is openly critical of you?"
Her perspective was skewed, of course. Lirin had tried to befriend Rishon at first, hadn't he? Still, Kaladin found little passion to continue the argument. What did he care? He intended to see his parents moved from the city anyway.
"I'll go set up the span reed," she said. "It might take some time to get a reply. In the meantime, the Ardents should be fetching your maps."
"Great," Kaladin said, pushing past her in the hallway. "I'm going to go speak with my parents." Syl zipped over his shoulder as he started down the steps.
"So that's the girl you were going to marry?"
"No," Kaladin whispered. "That's a girl I was never going to marry, no matter what happened."
"I like her."
"You would." He reached the bottom of the steps and looked back up. Rishon had joined Laurel at the top of the stairs, carrying the gems Kaladin had left on the table. How much had that been? 5 or 6 ruby bromes, he thought, and maybe a sapphire or two. He did the calculations in his head. Storms. That was a ridiculous sum. More money than the goblet full of spheres that Rishon and Kaladin's father had spent years fighting over back in the day. That was now mere pocket change to Kaladin. He'd always thought of all Light Eyes as rich, but a minor bright lord in an insignificant town? Well, Rishon was actually poor, just a different kind of poor. Kaladin searched back through the house, passing people he'd once known, people who now whispered Shardbearer and got out of his way with alacrity. So be it. He'd accepted his place the moment he'd seized Syl from the air and spoken the words. Lirin was back in the parlor working on the wounded again. Kaladin stopped in the doorway, then sighed and knelt beside Lirin. As the man reached toward his tray of tools, Kaladin picked it up and held it at the ready. His old position as his father's surgery assistant. The new apprentice was helping with wounded in another room. Lirin eyed Kaladin, then turned back to the patient, a young boy who had a bloodied bandage around his arm.
"Scissors?"
Lirin said. Kaladin proffered them, and Lirin took the tool without looking, then carefully cut the bandage free. A jagged length of wood had speared the boy's arm. He whimpered as Lirin palpated the flesh nearby, covered in dried blood. It didn't look good. "Cut out the shaft," Kaladin said, "and the necrotic flesh. Cauterize."
"A little extreme, don't you think?" Lirin asked.
"Might want to remove it at the elbow anyway. That's going to get infected for sure. Look how dirty that wood is. It will leave splinters." The boy whimpered again. Lirin patted him.
"You'll be fine. I don't see any rot spren yet, and so we're not going to take the arm off. Let me talk to your parents. For now, chew on this."
He gave the boy some bark as a relaxant. Together, Lirin and Kaladin moved on. The boy wasn't in immediate danger, and Lirin would want to operate after the anesthetic took effect.
"You've hardened,"
Lirin said to Kaladin as he inspected the next patient's foot.
"I was worried you'd never grow calluses."
Kaladin didn't reply. In truth, his calluses weren't as deep as his father might have wanted.
"But you've also become one of them," Lirin said.
"My eye color doesn't change a thing."
"I wasn't speaking of your eye color, son. I don't give two chips whether a man is light-eyed or not."
He waved a hand, and Kaladin passed him a rag to clean the toe, then started preparing a small splint.
"What you've become," Lirin continued, "is a killer. You solve problems with the fist and the sword. I had hoped that you would find a place among the army's surgeons."
"I wasn't given much choice," Kaladin said, handing over the splint, then preparing some bandages to wrap the toe. "It's a long story. I'll tell you sometime. The less soul-crushing parts of it, at least."
"I don't suppose you're going to stay."
"No. I need to follow those parshmen."
"More killing, then."
"And you honestly think we shouldn't fight the Voidbringers, father?" Lirin hesitated.
"No," he whispered. "I know that war is inevitable. I just didn't want you to have to be a part of it. I've seen what it does to men. War flays their souls, and those are wounds I can't heal."
He secured the splint, then turned to Kaladin.
"We're surgeons. Let others rend and break. We must not harm others."
"No," Kaladin said. "You're a surgeon, father, but I'm something else. A watcher at the rim." Words spoken to Dalinar Kholin in a vision. Kaladin stood up. "I will protect those who need it. Today that means hunting down some Voidbringers." Lirin looked away.
"Very well. I am glad you returned, son. I'm glad you're safe."
Kaladin rested his hand on his father's shoulder.
"Life before death, father." "See your mother before you leave," Lirin said. "She has something to show you."
Kaladin frowned, but made his way out of the healing chamber to the kitchens. The entire place was lit only by candles, and not many of them. Everywhere he went, he saw shadows and uncertain light. He filled his canteen with fresh water and found a small umbrella. He'd need that for reading maps in this rain. From there, he went hiking up to check on Laurel in the library. Roshon had retreated to his room, but she was sitting at a writing table with a span reed before her.
Wait, the span reed was working? Its ruby glowed.
"Stormlight," Kaladin said, pointing.
"Well, of course," she said, frowning at him. "Fabrials require it."
"How do you have infused spheres?"
"The high storm," Laurel said. "Just a few days back."
During the clash with the Voidbringers, the Stormfather had summoned an irregular high storm to match the Everstorm. Kaladin had flown before its storm wall, fighting the assassin in white.
That storm was unexpected, Kaladin said. How in the world did you know to leave your spheres out?
Cal, she said, it's not so hard to hang some spheres out once a storm starts blowing.
How many do you have?
Some, Laurel said. The Ardents have a few. I wasn't the only one to think of it. Look, I've got someone in Tashik willing to relay a message to Navani Kolin, the king's mother. Wasn't that what you implied you wanted? You really think she'll respond to you?
The answer, blessedly, came as the span reed started writing.
Captain, Laurel read, this is Navani Kolin. Is it really you?
Laurel blinked, then looked up at him.
It is, Kaladin said. The last thing I did before leaving was speak with Dalinar at the top of the tower.
Hopefully that would be enough to authenticate him. Laurel jumped, then wrote it.
Kaladin, this is Dalinar,
Laurel read as the message came back. What is your status, soldier?
Better than expected, sir, Kaladin said.
He outlined what he'd discovered in brief. He ended by noting, I'm worried that they left because Hearthstone wasn't important enough to bother destroying. I've ordered horses and some maps. I figure I can do a little scouting and see what I can find about the enemy.
Careful,
Dalinar responded. You don't have any stormlight left?
I might be able to find a little. I doubt it will be enough to get me home, but it will help.
It took a few minutes before Dalinar replied, and Laurel took the opportunity to change the paper on the span reed board.
Your instincts are good, Captain, Dalinar finally sent. I feel blind in this tower. Get close enough to discover what the enemy is doing, but don't take unnecessary risks. Take the span reed. Send us a glyph each evening to know you are safe.
Understood, sir. Life before death.
Life before death.
Laura looked to him, and he nodded that the conversation was over. She packed up the span reed for him without a word, and he took it gratefully, then hurried out of the room and down the steps. His activities had drawn quite a crowd of people who had gathered in the small entry hall before the steps. He intended to ask if anyone had infused spheres, but was interrupted by the sight of his mother. She was speaking with several young girls and held a toddler in her arms. What was she doing with... Kaladin stopped at the foot of the steps. The little boy was perhaps a year old, chewing on his hand and babbling around his fingers.
Kaladin, meet your brother, Hesina said, turning toward him. Some of the girls were watching him while I helped with the triage.
A brother, Kaladin whispered. It had never occurred to him. His mother would be 41 this year, and... A brother.
Kaladin reached out. His mother let him take the little boy, hold him in hands that seemed too rough to be touching such soft skin. Kaladin trembled, then pulled the child tight against him. Memories of this place had not broken him, and seeing his parents had not overwhelmed him. But this... He could not stop the tears. He felt like a fool. It wasn't as if this changed anything. Bridge Four were his brothers now, as close to him as any blood relative. And yet he wept.
What's his name?
Oradin.
Child of Peace, Kaladin whispered. A good name. A very good name.
Behind him, an Ardent approached with a scroll case. Storms, was that Zeheb? Still alive, it seemed, though she'd always seemed older than the stones themselves. Kaladin handed little Oradin back to his mother, then wiped his eyes and took the scroll case. People crowded at the edges of the room. He was quite the spectacle. The surgeon's son turned slave turned shard-bearer. Hearthstone wouldn't see this much excitement for another 100 years. At least not if Kaladin had any say about it. He nodded to his father, who had stepped out of the parlor room, then turned to the crowd.
Does anyone here have infused spheres? I will trade you 2 chips for 1. Bring them forth.
Syl buzzed around him as a collection was made and Kaladin's mother made the trades for him. What he ended up with was only a pouch's worth, but it seemed vast riches. At the very least, he wasn't going to need those horses any longer. He tied the pouch closed, then looked over his shoulder as his father stepped up. Liren took a small glowing diamond chip from his pocket, then handed it toward Kaladin. Kaladin accepted it, then glanced at his mother and the little boy in her arms. His brother. "I want to take you to safety," he said to Liren. "I need to leave now, but I'll be back soon. To take you to—"
"No," Liren said.
"Father, it's the desolation," Kaladin said. Nearby, people gasped softly, their eyes haunted. Storms, Kaladin should have done this in private. He leaned in toward Liren. "I know of a place that is safe. For you, mother, for little Oridan. Please don't be stubborn, for once in your life."
"You can take them, if they'll go," Liren said. "But I'm staying here. Particularly if—"
"What you just said is true. These people will need me." "We'll see. I'll return as soon as I can." Kaladin set his jaw, then walked to the front door of the manor. He pulled it open, letting in the sounds of rain, the scents of a drowned land. He paused, looked back at the room full of dirtied townspeople, homeless and frightened. They'd overheard him, but they'd known already. He'd heard them whispering, Voidbringers, the desolation. He couldn't leave them like this.
"You heard correctly,"
Kaladin said loudly to the 100 or so people gathered in the manor's large entry hall, including Rishon and Laurel, who stood on the steps up to the second floor.
"The Voidbringers have returned."
Murmurs, fright. Kaladin sucked in some of the stormlight from his pouch. Pure, luminescent smoke began to rise from his skin, distinctly visible in the dim room. He lashed himself upward so he rose into the air, then added a lashing downward, leaving him to hover about 2 feet above the floor, glowing. Syl formed from mist as a shard spear in his hand.
"High Prince Dalinar Kholin,"
Kaladin said, stormlight puffing before his lips, "has refounded the Knights Radiant. And this time, we will not fail you." The expressions in the room ranged from adoring to terrified. Kaladin found his father's face. Liren's jaw had dropped. Hesina clutched her infant child in her arms, and her expression was one of pure delight, an awespren bursting around her head in a blue ring.
"You I will protect, little one," Kaladin thought at the child. "I will protect them all."
He nodded to his parents, then turned and lashed himself outward, streaking away into the rain-soaked night. He'd stop at Stringken, about half a day's walk, or a short flight, to the south, and see if he could trade spheres there. Then he'd hunt some Voidbringers.